Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, scheduled to join us in 25 minutes or so. By the way, my team currently down 28-14 in the Serve Pro First Responders Bowl. Louisville trailing the Air Force Academy.
Let's go, First Responders!
Hey,
woo-hoo!
I love the first responders.
Appreciate them for everything they do.
Oh, by the way, I keep getting confused with all these bowls. I call them the Fox News bowls because I feel like they're the ones that, like, on Fox News, you know, like they would take their hats off to be like, you know.
Like, what did Mizzou play in? Like the
Armed Forces
the
Bowl.
The Armed Forces Bowl.
So I get the yes. Armed Forces Bowl.
First responders.
The Military Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell is the difference between the Armed Forces Bowl and the Military Bowl?
Well, they're two different things.
No, they're not. Aren't
well,
they the
two
same
different
thing?
Bowls.
Aren't they the same thing?
Wouldn't the armed forces, like, isn't that an overarching category of, like, of military?
Then what's the military?
Then that's just a different, the military, they're not armed. Maybe that's it.
Ian, is there any difference between armed forces and military?
They sound pretty close to the same to me, but I'm not a military expert.
Yeah, I'm not the right person to ask.
So anywho, I get all these bowl games confused. Like I know that the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl is different than the Armed Forces and the First Responders Bowl. But every time I kept hearing about the Military Bowl, I was like, I think we're in that bowl. Or no, the Armed Forces Bowl, I was like, I think we're in that. No, we're in the First Responders
Bowl. First Responders Bowl, yes.
Gotcha,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
So, anywho, Trevor
but
will join us.
Thank you to our Armed Forces
We've
and our military.
Got, and First Responders.
And First Responders.
And we got Trevor Maddich coming up later this hour. Music City Bowl will be on there and then College Football Playoff. Who watched that game last night? We talked about the Dolphins and whatever, and like we both picked the Dolphins, and we figured 3 points was incredibly generous, and we were both right because the Dolphins were going to blow out the Saints pretty much no matter what happened. But I watched the Dolphins, and I was pretty skeptical of their 6-game winning streak coming in. You know, there was a lot of Jets and Giants and Panthers and Falcons and one game against the Ravens on a Thursday night, and even the Ravens kind of look phony right now anyways. There weren't really any impressive wins in their 6-game winning streak, and I hadn't watched them at all. Like, I am not somebody who's going to pretend that I am Mr. Football and just sit by the TV and watch all these games every second of the day, including the games that I don't have access to. A lot of people love to do that. They love to scout a box score or watch a highlight on ESPN and then pretend to people like you that they actually watched the game. And I'm not like that. So I haven't really watched the Dolphins. So I watched last night. Take the Saints out of this. Take Ian Book. Take the horrificness of the Saints. Take that out of this. I was so unimpressed by the Dolphins. Jaylen Waddle, bad boy.
Bad boy.
The rest of that team, meh.
Also, best TD's celebration in the NFL.
Okay. But Tua? Guys, Tua kind of stinks. And I know, like, people at halftime were like, what do you mean he's got 3 incompletions, Jared? I mean, come on! I think Tua kind of stinks. Like, he looks so unsure with the ball in the pocket. And he looks like that little frame every time he gets hit. I'm like, oh. And I still think he plays a little gun-shy after that injury that he had at Alabama. I'm not ready to give up on Tua if I'm the Dolphins. I mean, you tanked an entire season to get this guy. You got him. You drafted him over Justin Herbert, so his injury history and his slight frame and all of that didn't bother you then. But remember how I told you last hour the idea of taking Trey Lance out if Jimmy Garoppolo is not hurt is a bad idea? That the 49ers can't say, well, we want to play Trey this week, and I don't even know who they're playing. I think they play somebody terrible. But they can't say, hey, we want to play Trey this week. Let's let him get out there and see what he's got. Because if you do that, now you're stuck with playing Trey Lance for forever. The Dolphins ran into this last year. They were doing okay with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. They just said, nope, Tua's in. Tua, you go. And then they took Tua out. And ever since they've done that, I think it has to linger into his mind that these guys aren't really all that committed to me. All offseason, Tua had to deal with the fact that at the end of last year, Brian Flores, his coach, kept taking him out of games. I thought it was crazy Brian Flores did that. Tua's their starting quarterback this year. Ryan Fitzpatrick's gone. Jacoby Brissett, who stinks, is the backup. And so now it's Tua's gig. But remember all the Deshaun Watson rumors? It wasn't just this offseason that there were all these Deshaun Watson rumors. It was in the season. Carolina really wants Deshaun, but he won't go there. The Dolphins owner has agreed to make a Deshaun Watson trade if Deshaun agrees to settle with all those women. But Deshaun will not settle with all those women because Deshaun doesn't want to admit guilt. Then the Dolphins don't acquire Deshaun Watson. We still like Tua. Do you? I watched last night. Tua's got comfort throwing the ball to one guy. It's Jalen Waddle. Why does Tua have comfort throwing the ball to that one guy?
He's been throwing to him for a very long time.
Because back when people liked Tua, he threw to Jalen Waddle. Nobody in Miami likes Tua. And it's so obvious. It's so obvious. He's playing with no confidence out there. I watch Tua, and I'm not saying this because they're Hawaiian, but I see like the end of Marcus, where like you know he can make plays, but deep down in your heart, you know he's not going to. So I know the Dolphins killed New Orleans last night, but I watched that game and I'm like, there's no excuse for that team to come in here on Sunday and win because they ain't very good. I guess maybe COVID would be an excuse. Now, the Dolphins have got COVID problems of their own. But maybe if the Titans get popped on COVID, like maybe that would then be part of the reason why you could say it would be okay or whatever have you. I don't know. But I'm just telling you guys right now, I look at what we're seeing as far as all this is concerned. I mean, guys, Tua looked awful last night. Now, the Saints have a good defense. Even with their COVID problems, the Saints have a good defense. But I'm not scared of the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are what they are, which is where Cleveland is right now, which is where the Ravens with all their injuries are right now, which is where the Chargers, who either look like the best team in the league or the worst team in the league, like the Dolphins are better than the Jags and they're better than the Texans and they're better than all these, but they're not as good as Indianapolis or New England or Buffalo or Cincinnati or you. They are where they're supposed to be. Like Arizona right now, the way they're playing, they're more like Philadelphia than they are like Dallas or the Rams. But because they got off to such a good start early in the season, they have a record that's more like Dallas and the Rams. The Dolphins, 7-7, and I know everybody likes to tell you about the stat that I maybe heard 5,000 times this morning, the first team in NFL history to ever have a 7-game losing streak and a 7-game win streak or 6 games or whatever it is. I don't care. I think the Dolphins are incredibly average. I think Tua is incredibly average, and I don't think it's going to work there in Miami. And I think Miami is just as much guilty of Tua's not having confidence as Tua is of not having confidence. Not impressed with the Dolphins last night. What did you think?
There was nothing really. I mean, I'm with you. Like, let's take the pick six out of it because I'm not really going to give Tua any sort of credit for that, obviously. The game's 13-3 against a Saints team that's playing their fourth-string quarterback, and they have essentially zero offensive linemen. Now, I heard a lot of talk about, oh, my goodness, this Miami pass rush is something else. They were able to get to Ian Book 8 times, sack the quarterback 8 times.
Poor kid.
Poor kid. Bless his heart. Let me say that first and foremost.
By the way, I've watched Ian Book now play about 7 times on TV. Like, all the years he was at Notre Dame. Like, I'm not watching him play Temple or Duke. But, like, when they'd play
like
a big
Clemson
Notre Dame,
and the playoff.
I don't think he's ever played well in any of the games that have mattered for Notre Dame on TV. And now this one.
And, I mean, and everyone wants to say Miami sacked the quarterback 8 times. This Miami defense is something else. It's Ian Book, who's their Saints' fourth-string quarterback, and they were picking up guys off the street on offensive line. So I understand that Miami did get to the quarterback 8 times last night, but I'm not going to say that's because the Miami defense is good. I'm just saying that Miami defense is an NFL-caliber defense playing against essentially practice squad players. So the one thing that people really want to tout from that game last night, now I'll give Jalen Waddle all of his credit because he is a bad man, but nothing that I saw from Tua was really that exciting to me. And that New Orleans defense is very good and was able to get to the, and was able to really cause some sort of some trouble for the Miami offense last night. So I think if the Titans defense can at least play the way that we've seen them being able to play this season, it should be no problem. It should be no problem.
Man, they stink. I mean, Miami is so average. They are so average. Now, if they had to go on the road and play and A.J. Brown wasn't there, I'd feel they're like the Steelers. That's who they are. I mean,
they could beat the Titans, but the Titans would have to beat themselves.
Everybody can beat the Titans.
And I see someone saying, Miami's been doing this for weeks. What are you guys talking about? Miami's been doing this against the Jets and the Jags and against a Baltimore team that has essentially no players.
And Panthers. Don't forget the
and
Panthers.
And the Panthers.
Don't forget the Panthers.
And the Panthers. I know the Titans couldn't beat the Jets.
Not impressed whatsoever with the Dolphins last night. I'll be honest. I watched the game. I really found myself checking out a lot, though. Like, mentally checking out from the game. Like, It's on my TV, but I'm not really... This is a boring game last night. Let's get to your phones on it next. 615-737-1025 plus. We got another Titans COVID list to report. And I will say this. Maybe it's better now. I'll explain. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. Let me tell all the fine folks out there, again, 615-737-1025, if you have a thought to get in. Trevor Maddich. Chad Withrow, by the way, will join us in an hour. I think he wants to debate my Tennessee Volunteers take, which he is welcome to do so. And so he will join us since we will not have a show on Friday. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The deal we have right now, get Downtown Dollars, $150 digital gift card for only $100. This gift card is redeemable at hundreds of Nashville downtown restaurants, shops, and more. With Downtown Dollars, you get more to spend at an old favorite or discover one of the many new destinations in downtown's growing neighborhoods. Also, it's the end of the year blowout sale, so save 75% off at Bad Axe Throwing, Nashville Armory, and the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop. Check out other deals from the Woodhouse Spa, Brooklyn Bowl, Seafood Sensation, and more. Check out all of Nashville's best deals at thegamenashville.com/deals.
Mike, when you play a team that's playing on a Monday night like the Dolphins are tonight, do you take the time and watch that game, or do you just wait and dissect the coach's tape?
I mean, I'm sure it'll be on, but we'll take a look at it. And Terry, I think you probably have to change your fire alarm battery. I think I heard it beep. It's just so amazing. But, you know, a lot of that will be done. You know what I mean? A lot of that stuff will be done, and we'll have watched them, and then we'll try to add in anything that shows up tonight.
There you go. That was Vrabel talking about the Dolphins. They get set. Field Yates is reporting ESPN. The Titans are placing DeNico Autry on the COVID list. So add him to Jayon Brown, Cody Hollister, Julio Jones, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Bud Dupree, Buster Skrine,
Caleb Farley,
though we don't care about him, Taylor Lewan, and Nate Davis. We're starting to get towards outbreak status here with the Titans.
And a little nervous.
On top of that, I said this earlier today with Carson Wentz, that I think that it's probably good for the Colts that this happened and that it didn't happen during a playoff game. Get worried about Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown testing positive the week of a playoff game, because I can deal with Jack Rabbit Jenkins testing positive the week of a playoff game and not playing. I cannot deal with Derrick Henry testing positive the week of a playoff game and not being able to play. Now, this just in. Adam Schefter says NFL and NFL Players Association have adopted the new CDC guidelines that reduce the quarantine time to 5 days from 10 days for all COVID positive players who are asymptomatic, including those who are unvaccinated. So now, as long as you don't test positive on a Wednesday, you should be able to play for a Sunday. But keep in mind that the first round and the second round of the playoffs feature a lot of games on Saturday. In fact, I tried to predict the schedule of what the games are going to look like. It's going to be 3 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday, 1 game on Monday for the first round of the playoffs, and then it'll be 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. So you've got a 50-50 shot, and in the wild card round, more than 50-50 shot of playing that first game. I think just doing what I expected to happen this season. Now, I think it's going to get all thrown out of whack if the Colts lose this game, but maybe Wentz is able to play. But I think The Titans may end up playing on Sunday of that first weekend, but that was all just me throwing it out there as to see what the matchups could be. Let's go to your phones as promised before Trevor Mattis joins the 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Gator Tim checks in and says the Dolphins defense is legit. They have 33 sacks over the last seven games, which I don't deny. I mean, that's great. But I also do look at the Dolphins' last seven games with a little bit of an asterisk because they haven't been incredibly difficult opponents. And I know that that includes eight sacks against the Saints with a practice squad offensive line and a fourth-string quarterback.
Though right now you've got Taylor Lewan and Nate Davis on the COVID list.
Which is true.
So
yes.
You would be looking at Roger Saffold at left guard, Raiden's at left tackle right now if you had to play the Dolphins.
Or Questenberry.
Well, Questenberry plays right tackle. So, two practice squad tackles.
Unless Lewan tests back in.
Unless That's Lewan true. Tests back in, which he wouldn't have to test. Now it's just 5 days. If his symptoms are gone, he's in. So, maybe it'll be fine. I do wonder, again, you know, if it's – you want the big names to not test positive. But the Titans, as long as they beat the Texans, are pretty much going to be the number two seed in the AFC playoffs. Would it be the worst thing in the world if A.J. Brown hit the COVID list right now? And again, you can't make A.J. hit the COVID list. And I'm not going to go tell Danico Autry to go kiss A.J. Brown to get him onto the COVID list. But, I mean, it wouldn't hurt my heart if it happened so that it would avoid happening in the playoffs. Why'd you give me that look?
It's just tell him to kiss.
I said I wouldn't.
I know.
But, like, that's how you guarantee that that happens, right?
I know. I know you're saying a hypothetical situation.
Right. And I said I wouldn't. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says Miami D is going to feast on Tannehill.
All right. Okay. Who on the Miami defense is so good?
I don't know.
Like, what's special about the Miami Dolphins defense? And again, I watched last night, and I don't know how you could have watched that game without a humongous grain of salt. Sean Payton said today, yeah, I mean, we can't evaluate. We can't evaluate Ian Book after last night, given the situation that he was in.
It's not fair. And I mean, so, the kid was thrown into a position that he definitely wasn't ready for.
I mean, I just evaluate him because he sucked in college and he sucks here. Like, I mean, that the Dolphins have the 15th ranked defense in the NFL.
Middle of the road.
Here's who the Dolphins have beaten since their hot streak. Texans, Ravens, Jets, Panthers, Giants, Jets, Saints. One of those teams might make the playoffs, and it's the Ravens.
And they have so many players that are injured.
And they're not
going
to.
It's a completely different
team. They will lose to the Rams on Sunday, and they will not make the playoffs. The Ravens are not going to. So all those teams, none of them have made the playoffs. I mean, who you beat does matter. It doesn't matter when it comes to your total of wins. It does matter when it comes to whether or not you're any good. That does play a factor. What's next?
One texter says, how can you factor in that the fact that the Dolphins have only beaten the Jets and the Texans when the Titans haven't beaten the Jets or the Texans?
Because the Titans have beaten the Rams and the Colts. And again, when we're talking big picture, when you're saying, okay, big picture, who are you? Your record is what you are. Like, where are you going to place for the season? But that doesn't really mean how good you are. The Titans are going to be the number two team in the AFC, barring a bunch of random things happening. They'd have to lose to the Texans. The Bengals would have to beat the Chiefs. You know, like certain things that just don't seem like they're going to happen would have to happen in order for the Titans to not be the number two team in the AFC. The Titans are going to be the number two team in the AFC. Are the Titans really the second best team right now in the AFC? No, they're not. Maybe you would sit there and say, hey, don't talk bad about the Titans, Jared. But I'm just telling you, you go to anybody else outside of Nashville, and they will tell you Buffalo's probably better than the Titans. Cincinnati, they might consider better than the Titans. New England, they'll tell you, is better than the Titans. Indianapolis, who everybody's got to rot up their rear end whenever they talk about them, you know, they'll say that they're better than the Titans. But the Titans will finish second overall record. Your record's what gets you in, those kind of... That doesn't mean that I have to think the Dolphins are any good because they've beaten a bunch of bad teams. I just don't think the Dolphins are bad. So they beat bad teams because they're better than bad. But put them on the field against the Indianapolis Colts and I don't think the Dolphins are going to win. They haven't beaten the Bills this year. They'll play New England next week. We'll see. Because I think New England's a pretty decent team. But you're talking about me 2 months of beating the Texans. Congratulations. Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst. He'll give us his thoughts coming up next. By the way, the Titans have made it official that Danico Autry is being placed on the COVID list. And let's not forget about Cody Hollister as well. Trevor Maddich will join us next, ESPN college football analyst. His thoughts on the college football playoff. By the way, they shut off the viewing window for the local media of these college teams and the college media. Did you see any of this yesterday? They are mad.
They are mad.
Oh, my goodness. Just maybe get mad about things people care about. I don't know. This Thursday, tune into the Transperfect Music City Bowl on 102.5 The Game and our sister station, 93.3 Classic Hits, as the Tennessee Volunteers take on Purdue at Nissan Stadium. Kickoff at 2. Coverage of the game presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Tickets are available at tickets for the game are available at musiccitybowl.com. I don't know how much I should be paying attention or not paying attention. My team, Louisville, is currently in the Serve Pro First Responders Bowl. They trail Air Force 28-14. Again, I'm not even really sure how much I care. Does it make me a bad? You've always accused me of being a bad college football fan. Mm-hmm. Does it make me a bad fan that, like, my team's in the First Responders Bowl and I'm not sure how much I care?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you care about your team in the Texas Bowl?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Who are they playing in the Texas Bowl?
They're playing Kansas State.
And who's their coach?
I don't know.
I mean,
does my level of caring about LSU being in the bowl game rely on knowing who their opponent's coach is, even though that opponent is not even in our conference?
Maybe a little bit. Like, if you really care that much about the game, you'd be like, okay, now his strengths
I'm going to be doing scouting for the game.
This.
I can't just
if
be a fan.
If you care that much.
If I can't just be a fan for the team that I'm a fan of.
If they were playing Kansas State in the regular season, you know who the coach is.
Well, but we didn't play
That's
them
my,
in the regular my,
but
season.
If it's the se- if it's the second game of the year, LSU,
I'm
Kansas
pretty
State,
busy with
one.
Another football team
oh,
at the moment.
Okay. All right. So, anywho, they're in the First Responders Bowl. We'll see how they do. They'll probably lose. I don't know. Whatever. Anywho, a lot of these bowl games have been getting canceled. And, boy, every time a bowl game gets canceled, it does not matter what bowl game it is. Now, I'm not going to say people don't care about these bowl games because if you've seen the ratings for these bowl games, they are off the charts. And I hate this thing where, like, one team is already there. Like, Washington State was already in El Paso, Texas for the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. And they're like, we need an opponent ASAP. And I feel terrible for him. And Trevor Maddich joins us now, college football analyst, ESPN, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. And Trev, I feel bad for these kids. I know the game is a big moneymaker for economies, and it's a big moneymaker for TV, and the ratings are huge, and people are betting these games. But what do we make of kind of these cancellations in college football? And I'm not sure it moves like the needle with me about, well, we don't have the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, so whatever. I feel like I'm kind of whatevering a lot of this. What do you think of it?
Well, it means a lot to those players, for sure. And to the cities, the businesses, the charities that are involved with it, it means a lot to them. It means a lot to the parking attendants and the concession people and the people that own the concessions that bought up all those hot dogs and popcorn and soda pop and all the rest. That, how are they going to get rid of that? You know, I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't know the answer to this, but I wouldn't be surprised if on the higher levels that the broadcast networks and the teams in terms of travel are protected by insurance against something like this so that they don't end up taking a huge hit. I'd be interested to know exactly how that works. But the smaller people on the scale, this is a great opportunity for them that they won't have. And so that makes me feel bad. And then the players, you know what? I can't think of, you know, except for like Clemson is going to play in the Cheez-It Bowl, right? They're used to going to the playoff. So, you know, when you have a situation like that, you can get players that aren't motivated. But most of these bowls have players that absolutely love the fact that they're playing in them. And so I feel bad for them that they don't have a chance to finish it out.
So I have a buddy that's a coach, and they played their bowl game, and he told me, he's like, look, we don't really care. You know, the bowl games just don't mean as much anymore. They don't mean as much to the players anymore. They don't this, they don't that. And I would agree, and my level of caring about the bowl games aren't very high until we get to the big ones. But at the same time, the ratings are through the roof. And so I'm kind of trying to figure out, does college football, we always talk about the opt-outs every year. I'm totally fine with that. I don't have any problem with that. But does college football need to bring a little bit more juice back to some of these bowl games?
No, I think that juice for the bowl games would be in a non-COVID world where, for example, NC State goes out to the Holiday Bowl, which just got canceled hours before the game against UCLA. They get to go play around in San Diego. You let them go play around for the full week and really, really enjoy the city and things like that, get all the swag bags and really make it an event instead of you go out and you have to be very careful and, you know, don't really enjoy the city because you have to keep COVID out of your ecosystem and all that stuff. I think that makes a difference. So you have a point about that. But from a standpoint of organizations and you know, the top teams, they expect to go to the biggest bowls. The smaller teams that are trying to build it up, Tennessee, for example, not a small team at all, but Tennessee, to have 2 weeks of bowl practice, the opportunity to say that we are bowl champions over a Big Ten team should they beat Purdue in the Music City Bowl, is awesome for recruiting. It's awesome for morale. It gives them a boost heading into the off season, and they get 2 extra weeks of practice to get some of those young guys up to speed for spring. And so lots of good things happen. But you talk about the Sun Bowl. It's interesting there. Boise State was supposed to play Central Michigan in the Arizona Bowl, and Boise State had to bow out. And so Central Michigan popped over to El Paso, and now they are going to play Washington State in the Sun Bowl. So you got some mixing and matches starting to go on right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more.
It is almost like the Tinder of college football bowl games. Trevor Maddich is our guest. Trev, what do you make about the college football playoff? We know this Omicron variant is very transmissible. We don't know how deadly it is. I think I'm not a doctor. I'm not qualified to speak on this stuff. I think it's not as bad as the other strains, but we see that a lot of these players are vaccinated. They're still getting it, and it's canceling a lot of these games. The college football playoff, meanwhile, saying, hey, you get too many cases. Sorry about it. Sorry about your luck. That worries me. Like, that worries me that we're going to have one of these semifinals canceled or we're going to have the national championship game forfeited, and I think that's ridiculous. What do you make of us being able to play the playoff?
Well, it is ridiculous. It would be terrible if some team advanced or even won the national championship because of forfeit. Keep in mind, there's also the AP national championship, the coaches' poll national. There's a lot of national championships that won't be affected by this as much as the playoff will be.
Yeah, but nobody cares about those, Trevor. It's like 1937.
Yeah, but even so, for the playoff, if you've got to win it by forfeit, I mean, people would complain about it. They'd want an asterisk by your name and all that stuff. But what else do you do? What else do you do? Do you just vacate the whole thing? You could do that. Who benefits from that? You know, at least if it's a forfeit situation, at least you go forward with one team wins by forfeit. Because let's just say, worst case scenario, let's say 3 of the 4 teams in the semifinals can't play the game because of COVID. The fourth team that could have played had their opponent not have to opt out of the team, that team becomes the de facto national champion, right? Or
sure.
Nobody's the national champion. So, you know, you
I'm
can
just
say
saying,
that
should they change the what? Rules? Should they say, hey, we get 2 teams for the national championship, we're going to delay this baby as much as we need to. The NFL is moving games to Tuesday. College can't move games?
They could move the national championship game back a few days. I think the 14th of January, I believe, is the last day they would move it to. What you run into there is the academic side. University presidents don't want those players to have to lose as much focus on school as they would if they moved it back another week, et cetera. You know, then you've got the issues with the fans traveling and stuff like that, but you'd have the same kind of issues if they had to cancel everything. And these players would rather play in an empty stadium and move it back as far as it goes. Because I will tell you that if both teams had a choice, they would say that let's move it back a week, 2 weeks, whatever it takes, in order to play this game, even if there's no fans there. The problem is the players aren't going to be the ones that have that choice.
Trev, Tennessee takes on Purdue in the Transperfect Music City Bowl. Before you give us your thoughts on the game, I do wonder this. Tennessee, compared to where they were this time last year or whenever everything hit the fan for the volunteer program, I mean, they looked like they were a program that it was going to take 3 or 4 years for them to get just out of the muck. So far, Josh Heupel in his first year exceeded expectations probably by a game. And now they've got a Music City Bowl where they're going to pack the stadium. There's going to be Tennessee fans wall to wall on Thursday, which will be good. How important is a win? Because they're talking, the players are talking as if they've been rejuvenated by this opportunity. I know it's a proud program. I know their goals long-term are bigger than the Transperfect Music City Bowl, but I do think this is a big game for them. And how tangible is a positive result for them if they end up getting it Thursday?
It would be incredibly tangible, especially given the expectations and especially given the nightmares that they've had in recent years. I mean, losing to BYU, losing to teams that they should not have lost to, in addition to the teams they should have lost to. And this is an opportunity for them to gain some momentum and to get some positive results, positive feedback on the tree from what the coach has been telling them. This is one thing the coaches always do. When a new coach comes in, it's vaporware. It is belief in what the coach tells you. They ask you to double down on your effort and the pain you go through to get ready, and you haven't seen any results yet because you haven't played a season with this coach yet. Then all of a sudden you have success over the season, which Tennessee has. They beat Kentucky, which was their best win, a massive win over a ranked team in division. That was huge, and it was validation of what Josh Heupel and his coaching staff have been telling them. Now if they can knock off Purdue, it's more validation, it's more belief from what you see, not belief because you have to believe what somebody's telling you that hasn't happened yet. These are all things that are incredibly important for an organization that's trying to dig out of a hole, because if you don't believe, it's not going to work, and it gives them more opportunity to believe.
Trevor Maddich is our guest coming up. We'll check in his thoughts on the Music City Bowl and what Tennessee's chances are to win. Plus, we'll handicap the college football playoff. What do we think about the two semifinals on New Year's Eve? We'll get Trevor's thoughts on that coming up next. Trevor Maddich joins us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thursday, we will have it right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, the Transperfect Music City Bowl, as well as ESPN 94.9 and Classic Hits 93.3. So we'll have it on three channels. Right here, we will have the bowl game. Trevor Maddich is our guest, ESPN College Football Analyst, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Chase McCabe and I will be on the postgame show on Thursday as well. Trevor, what are the Vols' chances? Purdue came in here a couple years ago and got waxed by Auburn in the Music City Bowl. They come back for a chance against Tennessee. They've had some opt-outs. There's a lot riding on this game for the Vols, I think, in terms of, you know, they really, really, really want to end on a high note. They really want to end with the fans on a high note. How challenging is Purdue going to be on Thursday?
Well, Purdue's got a hot quarterback in Aiden O'Donnell. He's really good. The problem is that he's missing his top two receivers. David Bell will be a first-round draft choice. He opted out. And then Milton Wright, the second-leading receiver, also opted out. That leaves nobody on the Purdue receiving core that has more than 10 catches, that averages more than 10.5 yards per catch. So the downfield passing attack will have to come from out of nowhere for Purdue to succeed that way. I think they'll throw a lot of short and medium passes, and Tennessee can kind of clog that up. I think and also on the other side, George Karloftis, the great defensive end, he's going to be probably a top 15 pick in the draft. He also opted out, so that's good for Hendon Hooker. I think that the Tennessee offense, with its vertical nature, even though they've got some injuries on the offensive line and some other stuff going on, I think they're in a better position to do what they do best, which is up-tempo, throw the ball down the field, and then Tennessee has a much better rushing attack as well. And so I think Tennessee should win this game. I mean, they're favored right now by 5.5 points. I think it should be higher than that, and I'd actually be quite disappointed if they don't really show well in this game.
Trev, I think in this football game, one of the big things is going to be the crowd. I think that the energy from the Vol fans has been really positive so far this year. Do you think that matters long-term for this program?
It absolutely matters, because Tennessee is one of the great home field advantages when they're cranked, when they are full, when it's sold out and the team is winning. There is no better home field advantage that I've ever seen. And I'm talking about Penn State and Alabama and those places where it's hostile and it's loud, just the nature of the stadium with everybody kind of going vertically in Knoxville. It is it's a great home field advantage. But I'll tell you this, though. With all the issues that have happened over the last, decade more with Tennessee football, and all the disappointment from Tennessee Twitter and Tennessee fans, people that like to criticize and people that don't want to criticize, but that's all they had to do when they talked about the team. I would expect all of them to show up, to fill that stadium, and to make it seem like it's a home game and not like it's a holiday bowl game where, you know, there's 20,000 people in the stands. So this is the time for Tennessee fans to put up or shut up in a major way.
Trev, what do we make of the college football playoff on Friday? Cincinnati, Alabama will kick it off in Dallas at 2:30. Those games will be right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Does Cincinnati have any chance?
Yes, they do. If Alabama plays at their very best, then nobody's going to beat them. They'll win the national championship. But we've seen Alabama up and down. And it's not that they play up or down to their opponent. I mean, at Auburn for the Iron Bowl, they didn't score a touchdown until the final minute. And so they play up and down. I guess Georgia in the SEC championship game, Alabama was on fire. And if they're like that against Cincinnati, well, hey, that's it. But if they're not on fire that way, Cincinnati has the matchups to cause problems for Alabama, especially when you look at Cincinnati's secondary. It's the best group of defensive backs that Alabama will face all year, and that includes Georgia. And so you've got two lockdown corners for Cincinnati. Sauce Gardner will be a first-round draft choice, mid-first round. And then the other corner, Kobe Bryant, won the Thorpe Award for the best defensive back in college football. They've got safeties that can cover. Their linebackers are fast and have 3-3-5 defense. And they've got all kinds of ways to get after the passer with all kinds of exotic blitzes and stunts and things like that. With John Metchie, the second leading receiver for Alabama, out with injury, and with Sauce Gardner, the perfect kind of corner at 6'3", and tall, long, can run to match up with Alabama wide receiver Jameson Williams. If Bama isn't on their game completely, Cincinnati has the ability to slow them down and make this into a game. So I don't think that Cincinnati can't compete and can't win, because they can.
Trev, the other game, Georgia has come out and said that they're going to go with Stetson Bennett. Nick Saban very clearly put the SEC title game in Stetson Bennett's hands, and at no point was Stetson Bennett able to compete with Bryce Young and the Alabama offense. And yet Georgia is convinced he's the best guy to give them a chance to win against Michigan. I saw Michigan absolutely push Ohio State around in their biggest game of the season this year. I really am kind of nervous about Georgia, whose best win was Kentucky.
Well, that's reasonable, but I don't think Stetson Bennett is the problem. I mean, Stetson Bennett made mistakes in the SEC championship game, but his total QBR, which ranks not just his passing, but passing, running, turnovers, you know, decision-making in certain ways, it was 75 out of 100, 50 is average. So Stetson Bennett, even with the mistakes, still played well enough to win that game. It was the Georgia defense that caused the problem in that game. And Stetson Bennett is second in the nation in yards per pass attempt. Stetson Bennett, second in the nation. He's sixth in the nation. Check that. Fourth in the nation in passer rating. So Bennett hasn't been the problem. People that say that he can't get the ball down the field, he can't make big plays, he's just the game manager. Well, he's been doing it all year long, and you can say that he didn't do it against good competition. You can say he didn't do it enough against Alabama. That's fair. But ultimately, this team is built for the defense to control games and for the offense to play complementary football. And that's what Bennett did against Alabama. The defense didn't show up in their part of the role. Now, Michigan, this is the fun part of this game, because Georgia will come out on fire. It will be caveman fury, because they didn't just lose to Alabama. They were humiliated by Alabama. They were embarrassed by Alabama in the SEC championship game. And the conversation has shifted. I think it's unfair that it shifted so far to say that, yeah, Georgia's overrated and they're not very good. And I don't think that's fair at all. They ran into a buzzsaw, and Nick Saban was inside the head of the Georgia defensive brain trust, and Alabama just happened to be, just accidentally, in the exact best pass protection to pick up the blitz or the stunt that Georgia was running on a given play, or the best pass pattern to take advantage of a coverage or a disguise on a given play. Well, it's not going to be that easy, especially if they meet again. They're going to switch some things up. But they're going to take it out, Georgia, on Michigan. Georgia's going to treat Michigan like every slight that they've ever had since childhood was done by Michigan, and this is a revenge game. But the thing is, the Wolverines are going to the NFL, too. The Wolverines are one of the most physical teams in the country, too. And so this is going to be a collision of giants, and I absolutely cannot wait to see this game. Michigan is good enough to win the national championship, but so is Georgia. And so how they come out in this game, I'm going to be very interested to see.
He's the best in the business. Trevor Maddich, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. Win experience matters. Trev, have a very happy new year. Always good to talk to you, and I know you will be enjoying the college football playoff this weekend.
Thanks, Jared. I can't wait.
Yep, Trevor Maddich, as always, joining us on the program. I mean, I thought the way he was talking about Georgia right there for a second was like, hey, you know what? Saban just got in their heads in the SEC title game, which I think is true, and that they're going to go and make Michigan their you-know-what because – and then he was like, but Michigan, I got to say this. Listen to this name I'm going to throw out there. Sherrone Moore. He's the offensive line coach and co-offensive coordinator at Michigan. Josh Gattis is the other co-offensive coordinator. He calls the plays. Gattis is going to be the first one of the two that gets hired. But the offensive line of Michigan won the award for the best offensive line in college football, which normally goes to Alabama. Mm-hmm. He won that award, Sherrone Moore did. Plus, I talked to somebody that I trust that would know who told me somebody's going to hire Gattis. They should hire Moore instead of Gattis. So when all these names come up, people want to hear these names that they know. And Sherrone Moore, offensive line coach at Michigan, I'm telling you, co-offensive coordinator, I think that guy is a coaching superstar in the making. Great recruiter, great communicator, and obviously his offensive line is kicking ass. So keep an eye out there. So Chad Withrow told me yesterday, he's like, we got to talk about your Tennessee take. My take that the Vols just don't move the needle in Nashville like they used to. He's like, we got to talk about that Friday. I'm like, we got the playoff on Friday. We got the bowl game on Thursday. And tomorrow we're out at 5 o'clock because the Predators are taking on Peter Laviolette and the Washington Capitals. Thank God we got a game. So the only time to do it is today. So clearly he wants to talk about this tweet.
Yes.
I'm a believer in giving someone the forum to do so. He will join us next. Stillman and Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.